Okay, let's pray. Dear Father God, we're here this morning, Lord, and we come to worship you. Wait a minute. Come to worship you, Father. We love you and thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you for allowing us to get together this morning and hearing from your word. I just ask that you would minister through me and speak through me and let everyone take something home with them, like we always say, because it doesn't do any good to just listen to it. We have to apply it to our lives. We just thank you ever so much in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read a parable this morning. Jesus taught a lot using parables. And so I thought we just read one and kind of go over it our own selves. It says, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that parable, when you just read through it, it makes good sense to a farmer, probably. If you're a non-farmer, it might not make quite as much sense. But Jesus liked teaching in parables. And he says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. A lot of people hear, and a lot of people have good intentions to listen and follow Jesus, but then it doesn't happen, and they get to drifting away. And if we interpret this, we're going to let Jesus interpret this parable, and it'll make a lot more sense to us. It goes on, we'll just keep reading. It says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And it says, so that they may ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. What he's talking about is non-believers that have closed up their heart. They're going to read it. They're not going to understand it. And they're not really going to care that they don't understand it. And then when he says, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven, is in other words, if they softened their heart, if they would just listen and just pay attention and open themselves up to it, then they might turn and be forgiven. Now, most of us here have been forgiven, but some of us backslide a little bit. Some of us mess up here and there. But let's just see what Jesus says. Let's apply this parable. He says, he told them to seek. Okay, I already read that. Sorry. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? That's what he said to the disciples, because they're supposed to, and they've been with him for a while now, and they ought to know this stuff a little bit, he thinks. So he's kind of razzing them a little bit, just like we would. And he goes on, he says, the farmer sows the word. So in other words, the seed would be the farmer sowing the seed out in the field. That's how we hear the word. The word gets sown. We're sowing the word right now. You're listening to words out of the Bible. He says, some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that has sown in them. That be the ones, I think, like he was talking about at the very beginning, the ones that are just closed off. They really don't care. They don't want to hear much about it. I listened, but that's the end of it. Then it goes on. His others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word, and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, They last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. So when you got the people, you know, I've seen them in church, you know, they go forward and they say what, you know, a lot of people call a sinner's prayer, which if your heart's not in it, that prayer doesn't do any good. You have to believe what you're doing and believe Jesus comes into your heart, because that's what he does. But if you're just saying it, it's not a get out of hell quick card. Let's put it that way. And you know, some people are like, oh man, this is cool. Yeah, I like it. But they never really apply it. They go out in the world, and well, just like it says, Satan comes and takes away that word that was sown in them. They just don't last, because you got to apply it in order for it to work. So let's go on. What's the next part? It says, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That's what, like we were just talking about, you know, no depth. If there is no depth in our faith, when trouble comes, we start going, well, is God really there? Am I really hearing from God? Is God going to help me? And you start thinking you're going to fix it yourself. Next thing you know, you're way out there away from everything. That's not a good place to get. Then it says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. That would be the people that, you know, they really love God. They want to follow God. But man, I can't go to church this week. I'm too busy. And I'm not saying you got to go to church every week. I'm just using it as an example. Some people need church every week. I do. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a church building, but somewhere I need some church, as my wife would say. I need church. And a lot of us do. So I get too busy. Okay, I don't have time this week. So I don't have time for the Word of God this week. So I got to go do my job. Or, shoot, I got too many motocross races to go to. I don't have time to read the Bible. I got too many friends to visit. I mean, all this stuff, and it all comes in, and it starts taking us over. Next thing you know, just like it says here, other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Not just the things I was just talking about, and you can just add on and on and on, and everything becomes unfruitful because you're too busy with life, is basically what happens. We get so busy with life that we forget about God. That's not where he wants to be. But then there are some people, and I think everybody has seasons. You know, we have good seasons and bad seasons. And we need to recommit ourselves at times because we kind of have a tendency to drift a little bit. But when we're in the right season, right here is what should happen. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. In other words, we should grow in Christ. That's what the Bible, what God wants us to do, and that's what he says in the Bible. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us just to come to know him and then live life all on our own. Now, you see people that are totally saved, that will go to heaven, that are still totally miserable and living a really miserable life because work and everything else just comes in and overpowers them, just like we was reading earlier, and they just don't see any out. Well, if we apply God's word and we do what he asks us to do, things seem to get easier. I know my work, my regular job gets real stressful. And when I take the time to put God first, the stress doesn't bother me near as much. Otherwise, I walk around with a knot in my stomach, and then that's not cool. It's time to go look for another job. That'd be the easiest. But when we apply what God says and we put him first, it just seems to work a lot better. I know it definitely does for me, and then if I read this, I believe it. And I want to read another scripture that backs this up. Kind of goes parallel with what we just read. It says, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, by itself, that makes good sense, but let's read a little further. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If your kid shows up hungry, you're not going to just send him away. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The thing we got to do is remember that he's willing to do that. When we ask for stuff, we got to remember he is listening and he is answering. Not always quite the way we want him to answer, but he will answer our call. He'll answer our prayers, and he will help us. And in helping us, we'll do exactly what he asked earlier in this parable. We're going to grow, some 30, some 60, some 100 times. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to grow and get closer to him and get stronger. So what's the whole point? And the whole point of this message this morning, I have a conclusion. I don't always do conclusions, but I have one this morning. First thing, you have to listen and hear God's word. That's the first thing. When we open our heart to it, he'll reveal it. We'll start understanding it, and we'll know what we're supposed to do. Second, you have to open your heart. Well, I just said that. You have to open your heart and receive it. I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, third, don't let the world turn you away. It's so easy, and it doesn't have to be bad stuff turning you away. That's the thing that we forget sometimes. Even good stuff can be an interference because we get just so busy. You know, we get so busy doing fundraisers that we don't have time for God. We get so busy doing food drives that we don't have time. All these things can be an influence. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. The good things can block us too. And then the final one, God promises he will be there and you will get closer. He will draw you closer and he will help you and you will win. We all want to go through life happy. And I heard a preacher say a while back, it's not really God's job to make you happy. Well, that's true. But when everything's going good, you still have a tendency to be happy. And, you know, you're going to go through hard times and you're going to hurt. You may have illnesses that you wish God would take away and he just ain't taking them away. I don't understand that either. He doesn't heal everybody. Some people, they pray once and they're healed. The next person lives for years with something and it just doesn't go away. I don't understand that either. So I just have to take it on faith. He knows what he's doing, and I trust him. And when I trust him, then I can be more positive about my life, and he'll reveal himself more and more the more I trust him. And then that stress that I was talking about earlier goes away, and I start feeling better. And we can all be there. But it does start with you knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, Jesus came to this earth. He, as a little baby, lived here, had a ministry, allowed himself to be crucified to pay for the sins we commit. 3 days later, he rose and is now in heaven preparing a place for us. And if we truly believe that, we will be with him in eternity. And if we truly believe that, then God can help us the way he wants us because we're his children. And our life here on earth can be better too because it's really cool to know you're going to heaven when you lay down at night and you go to sleep. Like, okay, if I don't wake up, nah, no problem. I mean, none of us have a death wish. Let's not go that far. But at least you know, hey, if it did happen, you're good. But you don't come to Jesus for a get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, it doesn't work that way. So we follow him. And like I says, once we're one of God's children, then he treats us like one of his children. And just like we treat our kids good, he's going to treat us good. That's just what he does. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for this parable. And I just ask that you, every person here that hears this, that you would soften their heart, to where they can produce the seed that you want them to produce. Help them in life to where they don't allow the cares of this world to choke you out, because we don't want that. We want you front and center. That's what makes our life better. So I ask right now, just you touch every person here, pour out your Holy Spirit, draw them unto you as only you can. And we thank you ever so much for it. Anyone that doesn't know Jesus, I ask that you'd give them the strength to either make a commitment now or at least research it to where they understand it better, and then they can make that commitment, because their life will never be the same. We just thank you. Lord, this is the last state race for the year. I just ask that you'd watch over every person. It may be a little while before we're back together doing church like this. So I just ask you to touch every person. Just give them a special touch just because of that. We thank you ever so much, Father, and let everyone be safe off and on the track today. Let no injuries happen. This is a pretty challenging track, and I just ask you to watch over every person. In Jesus' name, amen.